Well, in the celebration of a child's baptism, I often will indicate not only to the parents, but also to the congregation that the service is one dedicated to commitments and responsibilities, just as the family of the child must recognize at a christening how important it is to take on the responsibility of properly raising the child, so the congregation also should share in that responsibility of nurture for the child, if not, in my opinion at least, the entire significance of baptism disappears. Many talents and skills that we bring together here at our church, at First Congregational Cadillac, are combined as we support each other by acceptance, by inclusion, in diversity, authenticity, by loving and forgiving each other so that we can be extensions of that love and forgiveness, and therefore practicing the presence of God in community and world. Practice, it makes perfect, though we all know that being not so perfect, but at least working at being perfect, isn't such a bad thing either. The Apostle Paul taught us to share the burdens, to bear some of the load of life, in his letter to the people of Galatia, the sermon scripture reading for this morning. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Consider various definitions for bearing burdens or loads. Bearing means, first, the manner in which a person carries or conducts self. Second, any part that supports another part, like a load-bearing beam. And, you know, Richard, you know all about load-bearing beams. Where's the one in this place? Yeah, you know, you need to know these things. The act or period of producing fruit or offspring, you know, something I don't know a lot about, but I can help in the relationship or connection between persons. You know, you kind of bear with each other in different ways. The Apostle Paul is possibly speaking of Jesus' new commandment to his disciples. Love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another, by this all will know that you are my disciples. And how do we love? How do we care for each other? By talking about it or by actually getting out there and doing it? Last week at the installation service, both Forrest and Bill alluded to a truth which has become clear to me over the past 3 months. This church is loaded with shepherds. Sometimes I feel just as comfortable mingling with the sheep, but if I were to ask which one of you would be a sheep, I don't think anybody would raise a hand. And maybe you started out as a sheep, but now you're a shepherd. Pat McCurdy and her team and countless others in this church selflessly volunteered to visit those in hospital and nursing facility and home. New people enter the doors. Multiple members extend hospitality, invitations to join us in our fellowship time after worship. Lyle Schaller, the church consultant, he speaks of different church cultures, and First Congregational Cadillac is definitely what I would call a family-style church. At first arrival, Catherine and I were working on being your friends, and then you kind of move from friends to frenemies, you know, that's a new word. But what I was going to say, friends, frenemies, now we're family, you see. You know, and sometimes when you come to a community, I have an advantage, Catherine has an advantage, because as a minister, we're embraced by a community immediately. But others who may have other jobs here in Cadillac don't have that same advantage, you know what I mean? And it takes a while to break into the culture. I know that the place I come from in Jackson, in fact, there are people who say, hey, I've been here 50 years and I'm still not accepted. And that may be the case here, but we certainly, 3 months in, feel accepted and a part of the family. And families, as far as I know, in my own family, do not agree on everything, politics and economics, science and religion. And indeed, family discussions should make this clear. But true families, like the Christian family we hear so much about in the Second Testament, they stick together. They bear one another's burdens. We can sit down at the dinner table. We can talk about politics and religion. Yes, when we eat dinner, we talk about politics and religion, even though there might be a little indigestion or even a food fight. But we do not leave the table. That is, unless we have to go do the dishes. But you don't leave the table. You face each other. You talk to each other. You dialogue. You converse. You learn about each other. And believe me, at First Congregational UCC, Cadillac, all are welcome at this table. The front of our bulletin says it all. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. The father of American Unitarianism, William Ellery Channing, said, every person has a load to bear, duties to perform, influences and aid to exert, which no conscience but his own can teach. In the words of Channing, we are challenged to accept responsibility for our own actions, our own decisions, while making commitments to the world and to each other, bearing one another's burdens. And whether we acknowledge this or not, it is for us great blessing. There is a legend about a grandfather clock which stood in a corner for three generations, faithfully ticking off the minutes, hours, days. Its means of operation was a heavy weight suspended by a double chain. One of the new owners, believing that an old clock should not bear such a heavy load, released the weight. Immediately, the ticking stopped. According to the legend, the clock asked, why did you do that? The owner replied, I wanted to lighten your burden. Please put my weight back, replied the clock. That is what keeps me ticking. The Methodist minister John Jess says, all too frequently we try to remove the very things that keep us going. It makes us worthy of the air we breathe, the space we occupy. But as we take a backward glance, we must confess that much of what has contributed to our character was achieved through conflict, that much of what people admire in us, even praise us for, came through the double doors of opposition and frustration. We are strangely like that old grandfather clock, life's weights and responsibilities that keep us ticking. I'm enjoying my time sitting and listening and learning and trying to keep my mouth shut at a Wednesday book club group currently focusing on a book by New York Times columnist David Brooks. The book, their group, they've been reading, The Road to Character. A week and a half ago, our character was Dwight D. Eisenhower, and this past week, Dorothy Day. Dorothy Day was known for her social activism, including her early connection to the suffragist Alice Paul's Nonviolent Silent Sentinels, and later the Catholic Worker Movement. She co-founded the Catholic Worker newspaper in 1931, and she served as its editor until her death in 1980. Of particular interest were the dramatic changes that took place in her life through her various struggles, emerging with a sense of empathy for people living in poverty. After living a rather bohemian life and living through a rather dark period in her relationships with men, Dorothy Day emerged as a lodestar into the light of Catholic conversion, social activism, pacifism, and nonviolence, working in the trenches with the poor and homeless. Was she a communist, a socialist, a radical, an anarchist, a hippie? Who can say? What we can say is that Dorothy Day had some sort of social conversion experience, combining spiritual welfare with material welfare, where she established a house of hospitality, a shelter that provided food and clothing to the poor of New York City's Lower East Side. From here, these Catholic worker communities spread around the United States, and Canada, and the United Kingdom. After all, as one member of our book club said, there's nothing political about a dirty diaper. This is morally unambiguous. And I should know because I changed 3 dirty diapers on Friday. And Catherine can vouch for me on that one. Through the evolution in the content of her character, Dorothy Day accepted the heavy load of responsibility when she could have otherwise enjoyed an easygoing, though unremarkable, life. Her book discussion group collectively created some marvelous images. When one enters the deep down dark, bring a flashlight. Struggle creates depth of character. Sometimes to comprehend goodness, we must confront evil. What is it about some people who, as the saying goes, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? It's a real cliche, and yet how true. Recognizing that we are responsible for our own actions, how do we enter the struggle? What urges the change of character? Where do we find the inspiration? When does the time come for us to bear the load of another? A week ago, I attended a Cadillac Area Ministerial Association meeting, and the speaker, Jennifer Brown, our new enthusiastic public school superintendent, she spoke about how math problems have changed so much that she cannot help her own children. Even though she's an educator and was herself a student 10, maybe 15 years ago. Now she and her husband have a saying when one of their kids asks for help and blames the teacher for not doing a better job of teaching. She says, you take responsibility and work it out yourselves, because that work, that struggle, that's part of your homework. And get used to it. Struggle builds character, and that's life. Jennifer said to us that in this challenging new position, she is in a very worthy struggle, because it's easy to cast blame in different directions, teachers, parents, community leaders, and institutions themselves. But despite all of the negativity, she's on a mission to provide the best education for our children who live right here in Cadillac. Jennifer is saying that if we all pull together as teachers, parents, students, and community leaders, and together bear the burden of education rather than find fault or point fingers at another person or group, just imagine what we could accomplish. Why is it that we treat teachers or physicians or for that matter clergy as gods? I like to stand up here to pretend to be that way for an hour or so. You know, then I have to come back down there, you know, and then you can kick me around. We're all human. We all make mistakes. If a person intentionally tries to make a mistake or commit a wrong, that's a different matter. But so much of it is a lack of character, willingness to take responsibility for personal action, to cast blame for injustices and unavoidable wrongs on somebody else. I mentioned some time ago the blame game in a sermon a couple months back regarding Adam and Eve pointing fingers at the serpent, at God, anybody who happens to be a target. The real point of the story is that collectively we must share the burdens because we live here on earth together and we are responsible for what we do with and to one another. We share the burdens when it comes to the people of Paris. That was so appropriately shared by Sandy just earlier. And so as a world, what do we do? How do we help each other when other countries suffer in such a way, when violence comes to people? How do we pick up the slack here in this country, but also take care of each other in a world that is so violent? We need to be the people of peace. We are a people living constantly with ambiguity, constantly with paradox. We're sometimes so irrational. And when something goes terribly wrong, it's natural to point our fingers elsewhere. Life entails risks, and therefore the way we go about living as responsible citizens of the world and load-bearing, as well as how we handle the blame game, it will define our character. This all takes us back to loving others just as we love ourselves, sharing each other's burdens. Love will overcome. There has to be less talk about personal salvation and frontier morality, and more talk about what we can do to bear our fair share for the good of the community and society and world. As Campbell Lovett said in his sermon at the installation service last Sunday, it's about time for us to take off our bibs and to put on our aprons, and together with all of our gifts and talents and resources, to get to the work of practicing the presence of God. It is an age-old idea that even confronted Moses thousands of years ago. Moses was attempting to take on all the responsibilities and resolve all of the disputes and conflicts between his people. He was overworked, he was tired, he was helpless. So his father-in-law suggested that he choose able, talented, trustworthy persons and let them settle the disputes among their communities. They could help bear the burden. I guess Moses' father-in-law knew well the art of delegation. Likewise, Moses knew well that if he chose someone who didn't work out, he would bear the responsibility of that choice. Moses would shoulder the responsibility, take the blame, bear the load, and then move on down the road. Margie Annis shared a memory of the Wheatland Festival. Some of you know Wheatland. Some of you attend Wheatland. I was there once years ago. That's where all the hippies ended up. And this beautiful image that she shared, she spoke about a Catholic priest who attended to a Sunday morning service, probably many Sunday morning services there at Wheatland. She remembers this sermon, this particular one, because of the image presented. What happens when life's struggles and life's tragedies just seem to overwhelm us, no matter where we are in the world, when we alone seem to be the load bearers, and thus without us, the whole enterprise will collapse in one big heap? What occurs when the weight of life becomes overwhelming, when one is stuck or in struggle or just feels the urge to give up because all of life seems to be in a tailspin? The Wheatland priest gave Margene Ralph some advice. And so I think maybe all of us can try it. And this is an action sermon. So put your hands up. This isn't an evangelical thing. It's a Unitarian thing. Or a priestly thing, whatever. So hands up. Let's see. You taught me how to do this. Make a fist and dig your nails in. I bite my nails. Right? That's how I get the stress out. Okay, dig them in. Dig them in harder. And harder. Okay. And then, when it's really kind of hurting, then slowly, right, gradually release. Is this right? I'm taking my cue from Margie. Right? See, open hands, open heart, open mind, and now begin again in love. Amen.